The Lord be with you.
With you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph, the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not fear, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" The angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, Elizabeth, your kinswoman, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, our view changes a little. Today we begin to look and examine the Mother of God. We hear the story of the Annunciation when Mary is told that she's to be the Mother of the Lord. We often forget that she was told this. We assume that the angel asked her if this is what she wanted, but that's not how the gospel goes. Angels don't ask questions, they give messages. And the message to Mary was that you are going to be the Mother of God. What do you think of that? How about that? And what we find when we look at this, there's so many things that can be said about Mary. We need to kind of look at the basics here. And the most basic thing is what we can say about Mary is what God has said about Mary. And we know that from the first words that the angel spoke. "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." Those simple words sketch out for us all that we need to know about the Mother of God, because we hear that she is full of grace. And for Mary to be full of grace, we recognize that she is full of God's goodness, she is full of God's mercy. She is the most beautiful human creature to ever have walked and lived on the face of the earth. Beauty beyond all beauty. Usually today, when we measure beauty, it's all about Hollywood stars or starlets or models, and that's a type of beauty, but that's a type of beauty that after a while tends to fade. Things tend to sag a little, things tend to fall out. That kind of beauty fades, and no matter how much liposuction or Botox you find, there's only so much you can do with that type of beauty. That's not the type of beauty that Mary has. She may have been very physically beautiful, we don't know that, but real beauty from the standpoint of God is holiness. Real beauty from the standpoint of God is being able to radiate God's love, radiate the presence of the Lord from her very being. That's what attracts. Beauty, like truth, attracts people. It draws them in. A few years ago, People magazine actually got something right for a change. They mentioned in the second half of the 50 most beautiful people for People magazine, Mother Teresa hit the list. And that's not bad. You know, this 80-some-year-old, careworn Albanian nun, very short, very wrinkled, and yet she made one of the 50 most beautiful people. I said, they're finally getting their act together. Because the real beauty is, again, the beauty that comes from loving Christ. The real beauty comes from possessing the Lord and being possessed by the Lord and letting that come out of who we are. And with Mary being full of grace, meaning she was preserved from all stain of original sin and personal sin, her soul was a pure blank tablet, dazzlingly white. And on that tablet, God is going to choose to write one word, and that one word's going to change the whole universe. The Holy Spirit is the pen that he uses to write that word, and that word is Jesus Christ. And in writing that word, God just doesn't write words with a pen and sticks on a piece of paper. Every word that God speaks, every word that God writes, comes alive. And by God writing, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the name Jesus on the heart and soul of Mary, the word becomes flesh and dwells among us. That the most pure human creature on the face of the earth now is able to give birth to purity himself and goodness himself and beauty himself. Mary was created for that purpose, to show us Christ. And that beauty she continues to show to this day. If we want to know about the Mother of God, she has so much to teach us about her Son. That is her role in life, to introduce us to her Son, Jesus. And she does it in so many ways. One of the ways she does it is by carrying him physically, being the biological mother of Jesus Christ. And in doing that, we see what effect that has, because the very next section of St. Luke's Gospel is Mary going to see her kinswoman Elizabeth. And Mary carrying Jesus has such an effect that when Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, John in his mother's womb hears Jesus' voice. And John was so excited, Luke says, that he leapt in his mother's womb for joy that the Savior is now about to be born. That's the great gift that we see in this. But there's so much more about Mary we need to keep in mind. Another thing about her is that she tells us how to pray. You know, again, the great mysteries we have of our faith, two of the ones that make people want to scratch their head or really make us grateful is the first one. God wants to have a mother. Imagine that. Moms, this ought to make you feel pretty good. The God who created all things, keeps all things into being, and could have simply sent us his Son in full human form as a man to walk on this earth. He said, no, we're going to do things the natural way. And my Son is going to have a mother, and she's going to carry him for 9 months, and she's going to nurse him and care for him and love him and teach my Son. That's a mystery you don't think about when you're driving. But that's the great mystery of our faith. God wanted to have a mother. Remember that next time you say anything bad about your mom. Don't do it. If God wants to have one, you know they're pretty good. But that brings us to that second point, because mothers give so much to their children. The children's joys are the mom's joys. The children's sorrows are the mother's sorrows. And that's the same for Mary. But Mary also knew her important role as being a teacher of her Son. And the Catechism says so very clearly, Mary taught Jesus how to pray. Again, a very mysterious statement. The Son of God learned how to pray by Mary teaching him how to pray. Teaching them that God is his Father, not just in faith, but in fact. With Jesus being born of the perpetually virgin Mary, God is truly his Father in a way that we could only hope for. But even more than that, she now teaches us how to pray. And the way we learn how to pray is to think about how Mary prayed, and she prayed simply this way. Luke says it twice in his gospel. Mary saw the life of Christ and pondered it in her heart. That's about the clearest definition of prayer you can ever find. Thinking about Jesus Christ, thinking about his life, And you know, in the 13th century, she gave us a gift of her prayer. We call that gift the rosary. Because the rosary, in its essence, is not just a bunch of Hail Marys and Our Fathers and Glory Bees. The essence of the rosary are the mysteries of the life of Christ, whether they be the joyful, the luminous, the sorrowful, or the glorious. All of those things do one thing: focus us on Jesus. A great writer used to say, Catholics could always talk about the life of Christ pretty well because they knew it, because the good sisters knew, you knew those 15 mysteries of the rosary, and if they asked you something about Jesus, you could go through those 15. We've kind of lost that today, and there's been a movement especially to, again, increase devotion to this rosary, this holy garden in which we come with Mary to view her Son, to reflect on the life of Christ, to see God's love, and to see all that she has to continue to teach us. She wants so much for us to know her Son. But on the other side of it, her Son wants very much for us to know her. Last week I was at a school and I was doing the Mass for a Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I asked one of the little boys there, I said, you know, I think his name was Alex and it was Adam. I said, Alex, I said, can you imagine that Adam comes to you and Adam says, Alex, you know, I like your mom. I want her to be my mom. Will you share your mom with me? Alex kind of looks at me and says, are you crazy? He's got his own mom. I'm not sharing my mom with anybody. I've never seen anybody willing to share their mom. It just doesn't work that way, because she is mine. And if I got to put up with my brothers and sisters, that's a different story. I'm stuck with them. But nobody else is coming to get a hold of my mom. It just doesn't work. And yet the strangest thing happens on Calvary. On Calvary, this is where we see the generosity of God and the goodness of God really at work. Because what do we hear? Jesus on the cross, dying in agony, and says to Mary, woman, behold your son. John the disciple, and said to John, behold your mother. That Jesus' love for us is so great that he wants to share his mother with us. And in doing that, he is telling her, not just as son, but as God, that you are to love these people as much as you love me. That you're to serve those people as if you are serving me. And that you give yourself to them as if you're giving them to me. And that is what the Catholic faith has always taught about Mary being our mother in faith. All of us have two mothers, our biological mother who loves us deeply and who gives everything for us. But we also have our spiritual mother, Mary, who helps our biological mothers and who continually gives us grace to show us Jesus, to show us his love. That's the great gift. And as we begin to remember what happens on that Christmas day, we see why it is so important that we keep Mary in mind. She's just not a minor character on the side, but she has played a very important role in our salvation, and she continues to play a very important role in our lives. And if she's not yet, she should start doing so soon. You know, the kids, whenever they want to go play with their playmates, they got to ask their mother first. Can so-and-so come out to play? When we pray and we ask Mary for help, Blessed Mother, can I spend some time with your son Jesus today? And she'll say, go right ahead. But we recognize Mary's place as both our model of faith and prayer and our advocate, the one who constantly says, Father in heaven, have mercy on these people. Have mercy on my children. And she is with us to this day, begging God for that mercy, asking her son to watch over us, to love us, to care for us, and to continue to work in all of our hearts that bit of salvation that we need every day to serve the Lord. So as we always pray to the Lord every day, and we give thanks to him for his goodness, and we ask him for his help, let us never neglect his mother. Let us remember his mother has taught us, do whatever he tells you. But let us remember too those prayers that God himself has taught us through the angel Gabriel. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. And then we, as her children, add, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Mary pray for us. May God write on the souls of our hearts the name Jesus, that Christ will be born in our hearts again this week, that like Mary, we will be able to radiate that real beauty, the beauty that doesn't go away, the beauty that doesn't age, the beauty of God's love and his grace, which draws others to that same gift.